chapter 3, as we think about this 2024 coming to an end and 2025 about to start, I hope you get a little bit of downtime, a little bit of resting time between now and whenever you have to go back to work, go back to school, get a little bit of downtime. The man that we look at today in our story, he had over 40 years of downtime, and he was tired of it. And we'll look this morning, the title of my message is Walking and Leaping and Praising God. Do you remember that song from Sunday school, children's church? He went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God. We're going to see right where that story comes from here this morning, a man who is healed because of Jesus. So let's pray together and we'll take up this passage. Lord, thank you for 2024. We thank you for the trials and the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you that you have never left us nor forsaken us, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we look forward to a new year. And God, we know that in that new year, you will be there. You're already there. And so, Lord, we pray that now you'll be preparing our hearts. Your Spirit is working in us. Your Word is here in our hands. Father, we pray that you would work in us to be the people you would have us to be for your glory, the church you would want us to be for your glory in 2025. We pray that you would bless and work deep in us in our faith and in our love for you and for each other. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we start in this Acts chapter 3, we start number one with the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. That's how this passage starts out. If you look with me, verse 1, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. So this was a set time there in the in the temple where people would come together in prayer. 3 o'clock, that's the ninth hour, the way they calculated it. Here we see Peter and John together. Peter and John, both were fishermen, both were called by Jesus to follow him and to be his disciples. If we remember, when the women came back on the first Easter morning, the women came back from the empty tomb and they told the disciples, we've seen the Lord, he's risen. Peter and John run together to the tomb. And it says John, he's faster than Peter, he gets there first. But Peter goes right into the tomb and sees that the Lord is not there, and he believes. Peter and John, here we see them going together as friends, as disciples, in fellowship to pray. They're going up to the temple to prayer. This goes right along with what we've seen in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. That first church, they were devoted to prayer. They were committed to it. They knew that it wasn't about them. It could never be in their own strength that they could serve the Lord. They had to be dedicated to praying and seeking God. They did that in chapter 1. We see it again in chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves, they dedicated themselves to prayer. And again in chapter 6, we'll see the church praying. It was a mark of Jesus' life. We went back to Luke 6. We see Jesus praying all through the night. Have you ever done that? You prayed through the night. How about the song, that the old hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer? Have you ever tried to do an hour of prayer? I have. I get down on my knees and I start praying. I'm like, I'm going to spend an hour in prayer. And I'll pray for all of you. I'll pray for all the missionaries. And I look at my watch. It's about 10 minutes. You know, it's gone by. I'm never going to get through an hour of prayer. But there's something that happens, though, when you start to... There's that praying, and I do a lot of this praying where I'm just telling the Lord my needs, my please do this, change this, help this, fix this. I do a lot of that. But there's something better that happens in prayer when we're just thankful to God, when we're praising Him, when we're thinking about His Word and how good He has been to us and His blessings, His salvation. And here they were going up to pray. Paul says in Romans 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Or maybe you've heard, pray without ceasing. That we need to continually be lifting our... Do you have that conversation with God throughout the day? Do you have that? Just an ongoing... And it's simple things. It's Lord, help me right now as I go into the store. Lord, help me to make good decisions. Lord, help my daughter with this thing she's facing. Lord, help. Lord, thank you for that eagle I just saw fly low across the road. That was awesome. Or do we have just an ongoing conversation with the Lord? I think that's the idea of pray without ceasing. Or Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer. Steadfastly implies there are times that it's hard to keep focused in praying. We get distracted, we get busy. And he says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Top priority in the early church was prayer. Going to the Lord, seeking Him, just telling Him, I don't know what to do, Lord. My eyes are on You. We need Your strength. We need Your help and Your wisdom. The priority of prayer. Second, the problem of suffering. Because on their way to seek the Lord and pray to the Lord, there is this man who is in great need. And what's interesting is the disciples, how many of us would see this man in his need and we would say, well, I'm going to pray. I don't really have time to help this person because I'm going to pray. And Jeff says we should have a priority of prayer, so I can't help you. On his way to praying, on their way to communicate with the Lord puts them right in the position to help this person for the glory of God and the salvation of souls, as we will see. So verse 2 says, a man lame from birth, that is his whole life, he has not been able to walk. His whole life. It, we'll see later in chapter 4, Luke tells us that he was more than 40 years old. And since he was born, he has not been able to walk. And he, in fact, was being carried. So just as Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray, there are people carrying this man who is paralyzed. They're carrying him. And just at that time, God puts them together. God puts the minister and the person who needs ministry together at that moment. As they were carrying him in, by the way, that's God's timing. Sometimes God will, you wonder, Lord, what should I do? What should I do? And then God does something. He puts something right in front of you, and it's His timing. Just, there it is. Lord, okay, well, I didn't know what I was supposed to do, but now I do. I know what I'm supposed to do today. You've put this right in front of me. And this is God's timing. And so here they are. It says, they laid this man daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate. So I had to do some study and research on the Beautiful Gate. Why was it called the Beautiful Gate? Most of the gates, and there was at least 12 of them, I think, most of the gates had were wooden, and then they were overlaid with gold or silver. So wooden door, solid wooden door, but then overlaid with the precious metal, gold, silver. But this door, they believe, was solid Corinthian brass. It had been donated, oh, and there's an artist rendering of it. It had been donated by a wealthy Jewish person, and it's 75 feet tall. You can kind of see these little people down here. So it's 75 feet tall. They say it took 20 men to open it. That's how big and heavy that this gate was. The Beautiful Gate. And the historians say the other gates, I mean, they were covered with gold and silver. They were beautiful, but this was the Beautiful Gate. This was the one that was far more valuable. Very ironic, however, that this man is here at the Beautiful Gate, because his life has been anything but beautiful. His life, 40 years, has been a struggle, has been hardship, has been embarrassment, it's been begging, and here he is. Someone has to carry him and bring him there. And he's begging at the beautiful gate. It says he's asking alms to those entering the temple. It maybe reminds us of people here in our world who hold cardboard signs letting us know of their need. And it can be difficult to know, is this a true need? Is this someone I should really help? Or did they just need to go on and maybe get a job, get back to work? I don't know. How do we decide? I think if the Lord lays it on your heart to help and be a blessing to someone, you do it. And don't try to say, well, I didn't want to be snookered or fooled. If the Lord puts it on your heart, he will bless you. In fact, it says in Proverbs, if you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. The Lord will repay you. But here is a person who could not work. Here is a person who was paralyzed and had been that way their whole life. They were in desperate need, suffering. They're there. They put him there. His friends or his family carried him there and laid him there at this very hour. Why? Because, as someone said, this is prime time to receive offerings. You have people on their way in to pray, people who want to honor the Lord. They would feel good about giving and helping. So put someone there that is in need. We never learn the man's name. The Bible, the story is going to go on chapter 3 and into chapter 4. They're still talking about him, but we're never told his name. Do you know God knows his name? You know, God knows your name, and he knows the hard things that you face, and he knows the suffering that you go through. He knows, and he cares. He cares about this man. His suffering and his begging are about to come to an end in Jesus' name. Is what we will see. So verse 3, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asks to receive alms. He doesn't want to do this, but he has to, because it's the only way that he can survive, is asking someone else for help. So we come to the power of Jesus. Third, verse 4, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. Put your attention on us. This is not just going to be someone who flips a coin over to this begging man. This is going to be an interaction. This is going to be a personal meeting of people. A couple weeks ago, I got to ring the bell for Salvation Army at Ken's. And I'll just give you, this is a little advice, suggestion. If you would like to do that, you can go on their website, the Salvation Army website, and you can sign up. And Ken's is a great location. And I'll tell you why. Because you stand close to the building and it blocks the wind. And I had so many people, and I was dressed up. I had my, not my Santa suit. I didn't wear the Santa suit. But I had my snow pants and my layers of coats and two hats on, and people came by and they said, aren't you cold out here? Aren't you cold? And no, I'm dressed for it. No, it's fine. The building blocks the wind. But then I thought, well, I'm going to say something more significant. The next person that says, you must be cold. So I was all ready. And sure enough, somebody came up and they put a dollar or two in the bucket and they said, you must be cold. And I said, yes, but we're raising money to help people have heat. And the lady looked at me and she goes, yes, but you could sit inside and be warm and do the same job. And so I was like, okay, good point. Yeah, good point. But I was ringing the bell. You sign up for 2-hour shifts. And I really think it's good because it does help people who are in need in our community. But you're ringing the bell. And people who are going to give some money, they see you and they come up and they'll come over and put some money in and thank you for doing this. And or they'll say, I'll catch you on the way out. But people who maybe they've already given, maybe they just cannot give or they just don't want to, They avoid eye contact with you. In fact, they'll even avoid your door. They'll go around to the other door. And I've done that too, so. We understand. They avoid eye contact. Here, Peter says to the man, look at us. Something is going to happen. This is a real interaction between two people. He says, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm looking right at you. He thinks, okay, this is going to be a good donor here. This is someone who sees me and who cares, and he's got some extra money. This is a great opportunity. He thought maybe some money he'll give me. Maybe he has some food, some extra clothing maybe to keep me warm. He says, many people walk right past and don't give me anything, but this person is stopping. He has something for me. In verse 6, Peter bursts his bubble. I have no silver and gold. Or as the old song, silver and gold have I none. And the guy goes, oh, what? Why did you want to talk to me then? But he has something far greater. Far greater. So there's this moment of disappointment in this story. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now here Peter is an apostle. He's a fisherman, but he's an apostle. He is a sent representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter does not raise this man in his own power. He calls on the name of Jesus. In other words, by the authority of Jesus, rise up and walk. It is by the power of Jesus, not the power or greatness of Peter. And I just want to say this a little side note. When Jesus healed people, he didn't call on anyone else's name. He didn't even call on the Father. Jesus just healed people. He gave the blind their sight. He gave the deaf their hearing. He could raise the dead with his own word because he is God. He was the Son of God is God who came and had the power of God. Here, Peter is not God. He's a representative of Jesus. And he says, on that name, on his authority, be healed, rise and walk. Verse 7, he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And I think that's a picture of what ministry is that we do for others. We don't heal, we don't save, but we are the ones who reach out to someone in need. We are the ones who we reach out to help, believing God will do the work. We reach out to help, believing God will do the work. He took him by his right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Have you ever been to physical therapy? You ever had surgery? This man has neither. Peter doesn't say, Dr. Luke can help you, but he can't get you in until March. He doesn't say 10 visits to the physical therapist and you should be able to put some weight on those feet. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. Have you ever seen faith healers on television? Sometimes they'll have shows of faith healers. Faith healers cannot do this. The people that they supposedly heal are most often things you can't see. There's a man who's documented some of these things. He has cerebral palsy. He has to walk with canes or even be in a wheelchair. He's gone to multiple faith healers. They won't let him up on the stage. They won't let him come up. You know why? Because they can't heal him. But here, Peter, in the power of Jesus' name, as an apostle, at the beginning of the church, he reaches down and this man is healed. As it says in chapter 2, verse 43, the apostles were doing wonders and signs, confirming that they were the messengers of Christ, confirming that the gospel was real, that Jesus has risen from the grave. This miracle is true. The miracle is true. Here's an example of miracles taking place. They don't happen today, at least not very often. Can God still do miracles? Well, he does miracles all the time. He does. But what we know is this power of Jesus will one day be effective and active in all of us when we're in his kingdom. I'll probably mention that again later. So the power of Jesus, here's this slide. He sprang to his feet. This is verse 8. Leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them. Before, he could not enter the temple. He couldn't walk up the steps. He couldn't walk in there. And also, there's verses in Leviticus that would say a man who is crippled like this in his condition were not to be in the temple. They weren't allowed to be. And now he is healed. And he goes walking and leaping and praising God. And I love it. He's never walked before. And now he's not just walking into the temple. He's excited. He cannot believe it. Here he thought maybe some alms, maybe a few coins, maybe a half a loaf of bread. But instead, he can stand, he can walk, he can leap. He goes walking and leaping and praising God. Praising God for this miracle of God's power. And all of this is in the name of Jesus, which is fulfilling Isaiah 35. Let me read a few verses from Isaiah 35. It says, "They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you." What will happen when God comes to save his people? What will happen? How will we know that God has come to save his people? Isaiah tells us, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man," are you ready? "Then shall the lame man leap like a deer." And the Greek word in the Greek Old Testament for leap is the same word that this man is doing in Acts chapter 3. He's leaping in joy. He could not walk, and now in an instant, because God has come, he's leaping. And I love these reversals in Scripture. Peter and John, they went from fishing, being fishermen, to being fishers of men. It's reversal. Paul went from arguing for the law to arguing for grace. The prodigal son went from living with the pigs to feasting with his family. This man, here in Acts chapter 3, he went from being carried to leaping. He went from begging to giving praise. What a reversal has happened. This walking and leaping and praising God. If you're a child here this morning or a student here this morning, I have some good news for you about heaven. Heaven will not be boring. This service may sometimes be a little boring, but I promise you heaven will not be boring. There will be walking and there will be leaping and praising God. And sometimes we might say, hey, don't run in the church. You're going to trip over. You're going to trip one of the elderly people. We don't want that. But in heaven, you won't have to worry about it. The elderly will be leaping too. They'll be walking and leaping and praising God, as this man demonstrates for us. Verse 9. And all the people... Oh, I need to get to my next slide. There we go. The praise of one transformed. I don't want to forget this. The praise that comes from his life. All the people saw him walking. Three times it's mentioned that he walks. Three times. He's walking. The people see him walking. And they see him walking and praising God. And that's where we got to be. God does something in your life. He does something great in your life. Praise Him for it. We don't, and it's tempting at work, it's tempting at school, something good happens, and we're tempted to say, yeah, boy, I'm glad that works out. Oh, I'm glad I was there at the right time. Oh, I'm glad, and instead we should be saying, God blessed me. God did this, I'm so thankful to Him. That's what this man is doing. You can't stop him from leaping and praising God. Do you think there were people saying, no leaping in the temple? I mean, the praising God is one thing, but leaping, none of that. No, they looked and they are astonished at the power of God. And is He praising Peter and John? No, He's praising God. God is getting the glory. And the people in verse 10, they recognized Him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple. And now He has this beautiful praise from His life, from His heart. They recognize that this is the one who sat at the gate of the temple asking alms. In other words, this is no actor. You ever see those magician shows and the magician can guess things and know things from people in the audience that he doesn't know? And you ever wonder, maybe he did know them. Maybe they're part of his act. Maybe that was all a setup. But this man was no actor. He was there every day for years. They knew him. They knew who this was. They had seen his physical condition. And now they see him and they're astonished. How can this be? This was the man who could not walk. He had to be carried every day. And now we see him walking and running and leaping. And it says they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. In the next chapter, we'll reveal how Peter springs on this opportunity to tell the gospel again. And like in chapter 2, where the people, they heard them speaking in different languages and they listened to the gospel, we'll see these people listening to the gospel say, Jesus did this. He is real. He is powerful. He's the Lord. Do you trust Him? Will you put your faith in Him? He's healed this man. He'll forgive your sins. He'll heal your heart. And one day in His kingdom, He will heal you of all your physical illnesses as well. We see what life will be like in the kingdom. No sickness, no handicaps, no pain. This miracle is a sign of more to come. In fact, Peter says this in verse 21. He says, Jesus has gone into heaven until the time for restoring all things. That time isn't yet. Jesus is in heaven until the time He comes back to restore all things. But this man is a picture of what it will be, of what we will experience. When God does do something out of the ordinary, some extra special blessing, that's when we tell others about it. Let God get the praise. And may we take the opportunities to tell others about our Savior Jesus and His saving message. Maybe this walking and leaping and praising God was you when you first became a Christian. When you first trusted Christ and you had that realization of forgiveness and freedom and of eternal life and being saved from hell. God healed you of your sin and raised you to walk in newness of life. And I want to remember my salvation again and again. And maybe in this new year, as we look at 25, may our lives be living, leaping testimonies to God's power. His power that has saved us, His power that keeps us, His power that indwells us. May we live as testimonies to His grace. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the power of Your Son who rose from the dead, conquered death, conquered sin, and Lord, conquered illness. Father, we know that You do not always heal like this, but You can and You will in Your kingdom as we're following You. Jesus, You are the way to the kingdom. You are the life right now. And so I pray that as we struggle with our physical and our emotional needs that we have, may we look to you in faith, knowing you are with us as Savior, and knowing that in your kingdom, your perfect blessings will surround us. The grace that you will bring to us when you return, help us to fix on that. Lord, I pray for anyone who might be listening who has not yet put their faith in this living Savior. May today be that day that they turn to you believing to be saved, forgiven, and healed in their spirit. And Lord, for us who know you, let our lives be testimonies to your work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and we'll sing.